Well, I was really blessed by that, especially the thought that Tommy finished on with when God looks at us, he sees us not in ourselves, but he sees Christ and what Christ has done on our behalf. And I rejoice in that, and I thank God for that truth. That's the only reason any of us have any hope in God's presence. And I'm going to try and just springboard off of a few topics that Tommy brought up and just spend a little more time talking to you out of God's Word. I'm going to jump off of the phrase that, not the phrase so much as the concept of Mephibosheth's view of himself as a dead dog. It's true. I mean, Tommy brought that out very well, that that is an accurate description of we in our human nature. We are sinful people. We use the phrase totally depraved. We are sinners, rebels in ourselves, and not really worth much in that respect. But, you know, Mephibosheth could have kind of gone off the deep end and said, well, my life is actually totally pointless. I'm steering this. I know that this isn't the main thrust of that passage, but I'm steering us into a related topic that I wanted to talk about with you for the rest of the service. Because, you know, sometimes when we face things like Mephibosheth faced, he was crippled for his whole life. And back in those days, if you couldn't work, you pretty much were nothing more than a burden on society. You were a burden on whatever family you had. You couldn't provide for yourself. You were at the mercy of people's kindness. And so he could have just said, look, I'm worthless. I might as well just go jump off a bridge, if they had bridges high enough back then that you could have jumped off of and killed yourself from. But you see my point. He could have taken that too far and said, my life is purposeless. I'm just a dead dog. And he could have taken that the wrong way and lost all hope. And, you know, people have done that. There was a philosopher named Jean-Paul Sartre who concluded after, you know, I'm sure he was a really smart guy, and he did a lot of reasoning, and he concluded that the idea of God is self-contradictory, and there is no God, and even though man yearns for the transcendent, and we yearn for meaning, we yearn for purpose, you know, we want to matter, we want things to matter, we want things to last. Even though we have all these passions within us, he concluded man is a useless passion. That's what Sartre concluded about human existence. He said, man is a useless passion. And I want to think about that with you for a moment. Because that's, you know, it's easy to fall into that trap. Especially if you're in a situation like Mephibosheth was in, or maybe something similar, where you're facing a difficulty that makes life hard. And you start to question, why am I putting up with all this anyway? You know, what's the point? Is there a point? We want there to be a point. I think it's safe to assume we all want there to be a point to our lives. But is there? And Sartre says, no, there's not. It's all useless. Your passions are useless. What a hopeless message. But if that's the truth, then we need to just brace ourselves and embrace it, right? But is it the truth? You might say, well, what does the Bible say? And you might look at Solomon and you read, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And you say, well, when maybe Sartre was right. Is Solomon agreeing with this atheistic philosopher when he says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity? Well, I don't think he is. I know he's not, actually. Because of where he concludes, at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So Solomon was acknowledging the fact that it's true. There is a lot of life that is futile, that is empty. There's a lot of things that are just hard, and you don't see very much fruit being born from those difficulties. You know, there is a lot of futility in life, and that's part of the curse that God has pronounced upon the earth that we live in. But what is the conclusion of the whole matter? It's not that man's a useless passion. In fact, Solomon concludes that we have a very useful passion if that passion is driving us to love and fear and serve God as his creatures, as his servants. So I guess we could say, if I wanted to title this message, I don't know if it's wise to have two titles in one afternoon for messages, but I wanted to talk to you about having a useful passion, being a useful passion, man as a useful passion, not a useless one. And I think it's summarized very well by what Solomon said. I mean, well, we do have a duty. We have a purpose. We have a God. And we are to serve Him. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. There's a lot in that. It means that we do have a purpose. We do have a God. And I think that's important. When we find ourselves in I knew that was going to happen eventually if I said it enough times. If we find ourselves in a situation like he was in, we don't have to despair because we still have a purpose. Our God is still on the throne. We don't have to conclude that life is now pointless because we can't walk or whatever our problem is. So I'm not going to go very far with this for the sake of time and the fact that it's the afternoon. But so that's actually not my main text, though, of what I just said. But that is the foundation of what I want to just briefly talk about. What I want to talk about is what should we pray and desire in light of the fact that life is not pointless, that we're not a useless passion, that there is a God and we ought to serve and love Him. Well, I think a prayer that we should pray in light of that truth is found in Psalm 119, verse 17. David prays there, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word." Let's just pick this part really briefly, just a few key things that I want to pull out from this. It's a prayer that I think we should pray, and that I hope will be very profitable for us to pray. I mean, I'm not going to go into all the words that show up there, but notice that David views himself as having a purpose. That's why I'm connecting this with the text we just read and the ideas we were just discussing. And it connects with what Brother Tommy was bringing about Mephibosheth as well. Remember how he addressed King David when he came before him? What did he do? Did he come up and say, "Hey, Dave, I was wondering when you're going to bring me into your palace? You know, I've been hungry." No. I mean, what was the relationship? I mean, I'm being facetious there, right? I mean, obviously that's not what happened. But what was the relationship, the clearly defined relationship between Mephibosheth and David? Well, Mephibosheth was his servant, and David was the king. That's how he said, you know, he referred to himself as the servant unto David. And so did Ziba, the other man that was involved in the situation there. Everybody who was around David knew their relationship to David. They knew they were his servants. And that's how David views himself. Brother Zach was talking about this morning when he talked about the word servant that shows up in Philippians 1:1. You see, we have to recognize that we do have a purpose in this world. And we have to recognize that that purpose is to serve. It's to serve God. If there is no God, then we don't have a purpose. But if there is a God, then our role in relationship to Him is that of a servant. And our purpose is to serve Him. And that can really clarify a lot of life if we just remember that. That we are servants to God. He's the king, and we're his servants. That can really help eradicate a lot of bad attitudes, a lot of ingratitude, a lot of pride. Just you name it. It can eliminate a lot of sinful attitudes and outlooks when we remember that I do have a master, and I am his servant. And I have a good master at that. A perfect master. A holy God that I'm serving. And David just views himself that way. He views it as God's bounty that he could even serve such a master. He asks for the opportunity to serve in God's kingdom. And so, see, it's not just an obligation that we have as human beings living in God's created universe. We have a privilege of being a servant to our King. It's God's bountiful grace that enables us to be active in kingdom service. And that's another thing we have to remember. It's not just some heavy burden, right, that we have to carry. It's not some onerous task that we just pile on top of all of our other responsibilities and we say, man, the Christian life is hard. It has its challenges, but it's a privilege to serve in God's kingdom. It's God's bounty towards us that enables us to do so, to render acceptable service to our King. What a privilege. And so we pray, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Now, I'm really not going to go into different things here, but I just want to maybe make one more point about this. Because, you know, if we're thinking about this whole concept that my life does have a point, I have a purpose, a reason for living, I have a God who I'm serving, who created me, who loves me, and who I love, I think that it's very right that in light of all that, that we have a passion to live. You know, there's a lot of reasons people want to live, right? Some people are just driven by their desire for success in this world. Maybe it's ambition in corporate America or in whatever. We're seeking the esteem of others, perhaps. We're living for something, right? I mean, what keeps us going? We're all living for something, right? I mean, part of what happens when people get really depressed is because they lose a motivation for living, right? They don't have anything driving them anymore. They just kind of lose hope and they kind of give up. I mean, I'm sure we've all kind of had to fight that off, sometimes more often than others, right? We forget why we're living, and we start to lose our hope. But when we view ourselves rightly as the servants of God in heaven, it'll inspire a passion in us to live, and to live fully, I believe. I mean, David prayed for life. If you think about it, that's what he's asking for. Deal bountifully with thy servant. So he's viewing himself as a servant, but he wants life. Let me live, God. And why? What's driving David? Yes, it's the fact that he's a servant to God, but he says it this way, that I may live and keep thy word. It's part of that service, and he says it this way. He says, I want to keep your word. I mean, we pray to God for life, yes. I mean, we pray to God for peace. We pray to God for comfort, right, in life. We want to have a good life. I think all of us want to have a good life. I think it's safe to say. Why do we want a good life, I guess, is what I'm asking you. Why do you have a passion to live? It's good to want to have a good life. I mean, that's fine. But let's want to live so that we can live for God's glory. That's why David wanted to live, it seems. He wanted to keep God's word. This is the final thing I want to focus on here, is that it's good to want to live, but let's want to live for God's glory. Let's want to live so that we can keep God's word. I mean, let me just cut to the chase, because I think that this is perhaps most poignantly discussed in John 14. I mean, why? Why do we want to live so that we can keep God's word? Why is keeping God's word so attractive that it gives me reason for desiring life from the hand of God? Why? Why is that so central, that I want to live so I can keep God's word? Well, look at what Jesus says in John 14, in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. In other words, I will reveal myself to him. Who is that? He says, the one who has his commandments and keeps them. And then Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. This, I believe, is why it's so attractive a prospect to keep God's word. Because Jesus is promising here that if a man love me, he will keep my words. And what? And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The question that Judas asked was, how are you going to reveal yourself to us, Jesus, without revealing yourself to everybody? Right? He kind of had the wrong conception of what Jesus meant by that. It wasn't some tangible revelation of himself as the Son of God. It wasn't some It's not as it is going to be someday when he comes down and it's going to be like lightning that shines across the sky and everyone will see him. It's not going to be quite like that. No, it's happening every day all around us. Christ is manifesting himself to those who obey him. He and the Father are coming and lovingly dwelling with their servants, Jesus is saying. I think this is why it's so attractive a prospect to keep the words of Christ, the words of God. Because those who keep his words dwell with God. Christ reveals himself to those who have and keep his commands through faith. So that makes me want to live and keep God's word. I hope that it motivates you to consider that prospect as well. Again, the prospect here in mind, I think, is what Jesus is saying is, I will reveal myself to you the more you keep my words. That makes me want to keep his words, because I'll get to know him better thereby. That makes me want to live longer so that I can know Christ more in this world and show who he is to those around me more clearly. So yeah, there is a purpose to life. We should have a passion for life. It's not a useless one either, if it's directed by a desire for the fear of the Lord and obedience to his commandments through faith in Jesus Christ, the living word, whose word we strive to keep. So even if we find ourselves in a position like Mephibosheth was in, we don't have to give into those hopeless, atheistic thoughts that say it's all useless, because it's not. We have a God. We are his servants, and it's good to serve him.